Amen. We're going to dismiss our children. You can go next door to children. We're going to welcome all our followers now that follow us weekly on Facebook. Thank you for joining us. My little calendar always has a special message. You may not be able to see it where you're at, but it's a picture of a boxer and a little kitten. But this is what it says. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. So we do believe that the Lord has given us the future, and we believe it has everything to do with not growing weary in dreaming. And as I shared last week, we want to conquer the mountains before we've climbed the hills. And sometimes looking at the mountains overwhelm us. So instead of changing into a mentality of looking at what it would take to hit the hill, and then maybe a little bit bigger one, we get overwhelmed and we quit. And I believe the Lord rallies us to come together to learn how we can do a little bit at a time. Most of you heard the saying, someone one time asked me, Pastor, how do you eat an elephant? And of course, I'm thinking, I'm not going to eat an elephant anyway. But they said one bite at a time. So no matter how big, and it's nothing wrong with the bigness of things, but I believe the Lord wants us to believe for the little things that will again turn up in the bigger picture. That's why His kingdom is seed time and harvest. Everything starts as a seed. In fact, going back into Genesis, He says the life is in the seed. Every herb and every fruit and every animal, life is in the seed itself. And we know it grows. That's why we take a very strong stand against killing babies in the womb. Because we realize that little seed is a life. It may not be totally developed, but they say at 23 days it can live outside the mother's womb, let alone we believe it's alive before then. 23 weeks. Yeah. But anyway, so that is a key. So I want you to do this for me, if you would. Envision asking you to begin to implement prayer daily that you may not be doing, praying in situations that you normally wouldn't, reading your Bible when you normally wouldn't, taking those steps that require change. Change is not a dirty word, but it is a very challenging word. In the back prayer room today, one of the sisters had an exhortation of the Lord that she felt that it said that it doing the same thing we've always done is safe. Change causes us to have a risk. And I'm here to tell you the benefits are phenomenal. This weekend, my wife has been on my challenging, encouraging case to create more paths in the woods. It's a new set of woods that we acquired not too long ago that's very thick and very overgrown. And some of you know how hot and how humid it was this weekend, right? So I'm out there and I've got all my tools, chainsaws, saws, pruning stuff. And you have to wear long sleeve shirts when you're out where mosquitoes and all the elements, plus you get all scratched up. My eyes are burning, the sweat just rolling, I'm solid sweat, and I'm continuously working, cutting, and making this trail through this very thicket part. And yes, many times I thought, oh, it'd be not nicer to just sit back and, you know, and have a water and just not do this. But I know that little bit at a time as I carved my way through the woods. And I'd get excited thinking, I can't wait till PK gets to see some of her new trails. They weren't easy. They were one little step. I'd get to a new section. Oh my gosh, I got to cut this big log out of the way so the chainsaw comes out. So you cut it out and you make it a little bit. I had my mower so I could mow through it and all this. And again, now I'm taking my breath because, man, it's like, whew, wow, this is not an easy job. But I know that change sometimes may hurt. But there came this place, after I'd woven all the way through this, that I knew that I was done to what I was going to do for that particular day. And I smiled, and I'm wiping the sweat off my eyes. I'm loading up my tools, and I go back to the house. And when my wife came home from her shopping, I says, honey, I want you to jump in the back of our little vehicle, and I'm going to take you and show you something. And she was like a little kid in a candy store. She was so astounded, because she daily, a couple times a day, runs our dogs all through the trails, gets her exercise, but the dogs just love it. But the end result was glorious. But when I began that, I'm thinking, this is overwhelming. This is too much. I've not done it in this kind of a thicket before. So what I'm telling you, the Lord is looking for lifestyle changes, but you got to do it little at a time or it'll overwhelm you and you won't begin the journey. Yes. So as we know something, and I'm going to have you again turn to a scripture, if you would, to 2 Peter, for those that have your Bible. And I want to show you a couple principles that I touched on last week as I'm talking to you today on dreaming small. You got the essence, dream small. I'm sure you're implementing some things, but now we're going to continue to dreaming small so that we will accomplish much, but we'll at least be doing it little by little. And I'm going to start with verse 2 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. And it'll start out by saying this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in knowing your God. Now, I want to stop right there for a second. We know that we're here today because the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God saved us. Peter here is saying because of your knowing that, grace and peace gets multiplied to us. Now, you do not have to be a mathematician to know this principle. If you add 4 and 4, you're going to get 8. But if you multiply 4 times 4, you get twice as much, which means God's essence is when you receive Him, you get multiplied dimensions of grace and peace in knowing Him. But He doesn't say stop there, even though all of that, and He goes on and says this, this divine power gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness, again, through this knowing Him. Everybody say knowing Him. Because our focus has to stay on knowing Him. Because it's Him who gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then it goes on and says, by which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you are partakers of His divine nature, and you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it doesn't stop there. So we know this grace and peace has multiplied. We get all promises. We get all that pertain to life and godliness. But then He tells us we have a role in here. And this is what Peter said. And remember, Peter was an ongoing work in action. He was the one that stuck his foot in his mouth all through the transitional scriptures of the Gospels. Got empowered with the Holy Ghost, preached the salvation message, 3,000 are saved. But he was constantly trying to equip believers to realize what they already got and then to begin to add to that to become more and more successful. And this is what he then goes and says. But also, for this very reason, give all diligence to add. Now, we're not talking multiplication now. Add to this faith. Now, the faith is believing in Jesus Christ, which multiplies all this grace and peace. Add to your faith virtue, and mine says moral excellence. You see, we have a choice to plant moral excellence, but we have to know that through Him we can do all things, but it adds to our lives. And adding to moral excellence, the knowing. Knowing you must add self-control. Now, self-control isn't a natural. You got to step out and you got to determine with God's help, I'm going to not lose my temper. I am going to implement and add to this all-encompassing grace, self-control. Which I'm here to tell you that nobody in here has a heads up. When someone says, yeah, it's just easier for you to have self-control. No, the Bible says He's no respecter of persons. So the only reason some people aren't operating in self-control is because they're not planting those seeds. Remember we said we eat the elephant one bite at a time. We grow and we add to our grace. One seed of faith at a time, you have to get up. And if that's something that you're triggered and you want to drop whatever swear words or whatever kind of stupid stuff you want to say or get involved, moral excellence comes by making a good decision one step at a time. It's a lifestyle change that is going to add to your life and make you more powerful. And then to this, perseverance, which is patience, to patience, kindness comes to love. Verse 8, and you can underline this if you'd like. If these things are yours. Now, he said all things were multiplied through the grace and knowing him, but now he says, if these things are yours. In other words, have you added these things to this repertoire? If you have, they're yours. But if you haven't, they're not yours. In other words, they're not operating. They're yours, but you don't get the fruit from them. For if these things are yours, they should abound, and you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowing of your Lord Jesus Christ. If we really want to change society, if we really want to change the world, people have got to come to realize, I need to know my Jesus better than I've ever known him before. I need to know, when Paul says to know him in the power of his resurrection, and to listen to Peter says to know him, to know him. I'm telling you, the reason why so many Christians are wallowing in defeat is because they haven't realized they've got to add these principles, these seeds, these little nuggets to their lives, and in that they get to know, and this revelation is kind of like the crickets. I don't know about you, but I was getting goosebumps listening to that chorus as they slowed it down to our ears, and it sounded like a choir, but there wasn't any human singing. That's all creation that God made for his benefit, but we get to enjoy it too. And I think our joining together probably sounds as beautiful, if not more, than those crickets. Amen? And so, he goes on, and where I ended last week, he says, keep reminding the believers. As long as Peter was on earth, he was going to remind them, you can do it. You can do it a little step at a time, a little biteful at a time. You can change what you've been doing. Whatever you're locked into, and you think, oh, Pastor, it's not easy for me. I can't change. I've always done this. I know it's scary. But the end result will be like my wife seeing this, the end, getting through this path. Wow, it's beautiful. And then when I go through it now, I'm looking, oh my gosh, this is like about a 100-year-old tree stand that's rotting in this tree. I wonder how many years ago somebody built that. And then you look at all the massiveness of things. I'm thinking, God, you created all this. Wow, is this beautiful? And then you see the different animals running and jumping. I'm thinking, this is cool. The end result, God's way, adds these things, and we get to know Jesus. And remember, our whole ministry is get people to Jesus, but not just get them to him, but try to encourage people to know him better. Spend that time with him. You don't have to fall out of a tree stand and be revived 8 times from death to appreciate, or go through addictive behavior, or be incarcerated, and all the different things that happen to people. You rise up and say, my gosh, I'm not going to settle with just getting by anymore. I want to add to it to know my Lord even more, so I will make good decisions, because good choices produce good fruit. Because life is in the seed. Amen? Now, the principle in Galatians 6 says, not to grow weary, but he says, God will not be made fun of. Whatever a believer plants, or an unbeliever, that is what we're going to reap if we faint not. If we sow to the flesh, this is to believers, Galatians, Church of Galatia, you're going to reap fleshly things. Just because you're saved and you get all things that pertain to life and godliness, if you still sow to the flesh, you get flesh results. If you still squirrel around, you're probably going to cost you your marriage. God doesn't stop loving you. He doesn't stop wanting you to do what's right. If you hang on to those little destructive dispositions because you say, I can handle these, if all of a sudden they begin to build, it's because when we plant these little destructive things, they grow. Amen. Our earth is earth time. seed time and harvest, everything grows, good or bad. Peter's trying to say, plant good because it's going to produce good fruit. And not only will you be blessed, but those around you, especially the family that you're responsible or the employers that you're responsible for. Because it's no longer, Peter wasn't just thinking, it's just not about me. When I'm gone, I hope I produce that in somebody else, that they'll remind you that you got to keep adding to this grace and this great and exceeding promises. Add to it. Self-control, patience, kindness. Because he knew the principle that they would not grow weary. They would reap this if they fainted not. The results and the fruit is in the seed. And whatever seed we plant is what we're reaping. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospels of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Chapter 4 says this, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. Jesus is teaching them many things, and he says to those that were following him, verse 3, listen, the sower is going out and it's going to sow. Now you need to realize he's addressed all believers are sowers. All believers have to choose what you want to sow. Pastor can't make you sow good seed, or he can't stop you from sowing bad seed. Only you can, because he says add to this self-control. Add to it patience. Add to all this exceedingly great and precious promises. And it happened as this sower, some of it fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured it. Some fell on good, on stony ground and didn't have much earth immediately. It sprang up because it had no depth in the earth. Sun came up, it was scorched because it had no root, it withered away. Some of the seeds that were sown fell among thorns. Thorns choked it out, it yielded no crop. Other seed fell on good ground that yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced 30, 60, 100 fold. And this is what he says before he explains. You that have ears to hear what I'm trying to convey. In other words, Jesus was trying to teach them kingdom rule. He was trying to teach them to understand that the life is in the seed, but you have to be concerned about your heart. Proverbs 4 says to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of our heart flows every issue of life. So the seed is potent, but it has to do also with us, the sower, that we do what we need to do to keep our hearts precious. Remember all the stupid stuff King David did, and yet God still said he had a what? Heart after God? Because God looks at your heart. We end up stepping in poop holes and stupid holes, But if we got a heart after God, God just smiles and says, come on, get back up. We fall down doing stupid stuff, and God says, just get back up. I've never left you. I'm still here. I'm hurt. I'm here. I'll give you a hand. Get up, get up, get up. I haven't called you home yet. It's going to be glorious when you get to heaven, but right here you're going to make a difference on earth, because I'm telling you to pray that the kingdom would come, his will would be done, right where you live, right where you play, right where you work, right where you go to school, as it already is going on in heaven. That's our mandate. So he goes on and he says this in verse 11. And he said to those, to you. Now, he's saying to you that believe, but who are the believers today? Us. To you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. We're to know it. And he's trying to explain how it works. We get everything that pertains to life and godliness, but to you it's been given so you understand this kingdom and how the kingdom principles work, how seed time and harvest makes a difference. So now Jesus doesn't just stop. Now he breaks it down spiritually so that you'll even understand it even more so. Remember, to know him is to be free. And when you know him, he makes us free. We pick up in verse 13. And he said to them, that's us, do you understand this? How then you must understand all the parables? Verse 14, and he sets the stage. The sowers, the seed that we're sowing is the what?
Word.
Is the word of God. We know the word goes forth, accomplishes what is to set forth. We know that the power of God is in his word. We know he is the living word, and we know this is the spoken word, but he causes it to come alive. It says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, correction, encouragement, that the man and woman of God may be perfect, not lacking anything. So he says, the sowers, and what I'm here to tell you, church, you hear this all the time. This isn't pastor the sower. This is believers the sowers. How we're going to change society is that the believers are going to see kingdom principles and how the kingdom of mystery is going to change society. And we're going to begin to one bite of that elephant at a time. Plant good seed. Plant good word of God. Change some destructive behavior into good seeds and let it grow. And it says this, and these are the ones, the seeds, the word of God, that's sown on the wayside. The word is sown. They hear it. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Who do you think was responsible that those seeds not get stolen in their hearts? We are. The enemy is out there as a lion roaming to seek whom he may devour. And the Bible says resist him in faith. Faith is believing in the word of God. But if you don't know the word of God, how can you resist the enemy that's there to steal, kill, and destroy us? And many of us know the journey of how it was working pretty good before we came to Christ. And even after Christ, we still seem to be going through a whole lot of turmoil at times. Thank God. Many are the afflictions of righteous men and women, but the Lord delivers us out of just a half dozen, out of all of them. So we know the enemy is wanting to steal this word of God. So it's important that we not let him. Before I go any farther, what's a way the enemy steals it? You come to church, you hear a good word, but you get offended by somebody or what somebody says. The next thing you know, you're mad. And next thing you mad, you harbor that. Next thing you know, you separate yourself. And now you're a lone ranger. And you're thinking, well, I can hear from God on my own. And he never says that. He says you need the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 says you need each other. You may be a hand. You need the ear. You need the foot. You need all the parts. So iron sharpeneth iron. So you get rebellious and you separate yourself. And as a pastor of so many years, I see the results. They fall away. Next thing you know, you don't even know they look like they're even saved anymore. And whether or not they're going to go to heaven, it's sad to see that they're letting the kingdom of God that's within them dry up and die. And so the opposite of that, we've got to remind people you're not lone rangers. Amen. As spiritual as you think you are, don't you ever get to a place where you separate yourself from the body of Christ because you become vulnerable. Amen. And when you become vulnerable, it's easy to rob you of seed, and it's easy for you to get mad at world. I'm not saying you go to hell. My gosh, if Jesus is your Lord, you get to heaven probably sooner. Because you'll have stress, you'll have a heart attack, you'll have all kinds of, they say almost the major issues happens with people can't handle stress. And the Lord says, give it to me. But if you're not in the body of Christ, that's encouraging you. It's like we have men's group and women's group, and then some of them dry up and so forth, and you try to talk people into connect. You can't talk somebody in. They have got to decide, you know what? I need to be in the body of Christ. I've got to set aside time to get in fellowship so I can be with other men or other women so I am not a lone ranger, so I don't become as vulnerable to the enemy. Not to go to hell. I'm talking about to live as if you're in hell on earth, which is sad. We shouldn't. We should live in abundance of peace and joy because it's multiplied unto us. Yeah. In knowing that and reminding one another how important it is to stay connected. All right. Then he goes on and says this. These are the seeds that are sown on stony ground. They hear the word. Immediately they receive it and they're glad. But they have no root in themselves. How do we get root in ourselves? How does faith come?
By hearing
and hearing and hearing. It doesn't say having heard the word. Hearing. These seeds have to continuously be planted. It's not a one-time shot. It's not a little dab will do you and you're done. No, you need a lot of dabs. Immediately they receive it and they're happy. Oh, it's so good. They have no root in themselves. They endure for a short time, but immediately when persecution comes, for the word's sake, they immediately stumble. I'm telling you, if we decide, I am not going to let anybody rob me of my joy and peace, I am going to stay. I am going to stay in love with Jesus and his body no matter what people say to me or at me, because they are not dictating my peace and joy.
Amen.
It comes from heaven, and it's a kingdom principle, and I'm not giving it up for anybody.
Amen.
I'm not on Facebook, but I'm telling you what, if I was on Facebook, I wouldn't be looking for ways that everybody wants to defend me, because I'm starting to act like a jerk. I'm on there to loose the blessings of God. I got good seeds, and I got bad seeds, and we control the seeds. And if we don't, we're going to get the fruit of the bad seed.
Yes.
And all you that are on watching today, you know yourself. Get over it. If you're watching only today because you've been hurt in a church life, forgive them. Get back into church life. You'll grow. You'll bless others.
Amen.
They can be blessed with you. Now, these are the ones that are sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the quickness to get rich and the desires of other things come in and choke out the word. I was raised on a farm, and my dad used to pay us boys, us kids, my sisters didn't like to do this. He would plant soybeans or he'd plant corn. We had these burrs, these real thick kind of, forget what they call them, big-headed prickery things, and he'd pay us, I think back then it was 10 cents a row. And I thought, man, it sounded real good, but after a couple, three of those rows, I was praying that all those kinds of burrs would be in my brother's rows. But because if you did not get them out, they grew so thick, you couldn't even harvest the crop. It would just choke it out. What I'm saying is when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't separate ourselves from the body of Christ. We can't all of a sudden stay excited about doing all the worldly stuff when people could care less about the things of God. Yes, we're to be a light, but that's not supposed to be where we hang out all the time. We're supposed to hang out with brothers and sisters that are going to be encouragement so that when we are alone with the world, we're able to have some substance to make a difference. Because it says they get choked out, that word does. And they become unfruitful. But then you got the ones that are sown on good ground. Put your hand on your chest and say, this is good ground.
This is good ground.
Those who hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit 30, 60, or 100 fold. Now let me just tell you how that works. If you begin today to plant seeds, you're not going to get 100-fold. The principle of God works. If you're going to get 30-fold, you're planting at least 3. If you're getting 60, at least 6. Because a tenth, which belongs to the Lord, is what we're using to plant back into the kingdom. You want 100-fold, then you got to give. You got to give. 10 makes 100. So what I'm saying is, you don't go from step 1 to step 100 overnight. It's little by little. You're faithful in what God's blessed you with now, whether you're on a fixed income or not, or you're faithful with the words that God has given you right now. And as you plant those, they cause the creation itself to open up doors. And the next thing you know, you're getting blessed from unexpected blessings. And the next thing you know, they just keep on coming. So all your needs get met, and you have much more to help establish God's covenant on earth. It's 30, 60, 100, depending on where you've been and what you've been sowing. You grow into it. It's like the person that that tells me I'm going to start tithing once I win the lottery. And I say, no, you're not. Seriously, I know you're laughing. Seriously, I've been in this too long. Someone doesn't just overnight want to give thousands of dollars into the kingdom. It starts by them being faithful. They got $100 for the week and they brought their 10 in. And God honored that. And next thing you know, they're getting extra. And they're getting 1,000. And they honor the Lord. Don't even think about it. My wife and I don't even think about, wow, what are we going to do without this? It's not even a thought. It's God's seed that He gave us to plant back because it's His. And then He opens up more windows and we could go through and we could tell you one blessing after another blessing. So a kennel that you're believing for, and we're praying this week, favor upon the Wolfensteins. There's going to be a kennel real close to us, less than a mile from the church. Beautiful facility. Why I know it's going to come to be? Because they're favored of the Lord, because they've been faithful with a little. Then God has blessed them with more. Then they've been faithful with more. And God is opening up windows. And houses are going to sell. And kennels are going to open because we chose not to rob God.
Amen.
You want 100-fold, then you got to start one bite at a time and be faithful. It's not just finances. It's about breaking out of this element that you got fear of the unknown. It's one step at a time. To break out of your bondages that we self-induce to ourselves. My wife was raised in a good home, but she wasn't raised and giving, and so mild, we just, you just give time. And it always amazed me because her mom always had extra time. Because everything reproduces after its own kind. You want more time? Then volunteer. Help a needy person in your neighborhood. Dance with them a little bit, as the story said. Or help a widow that lives in your neighborhood. Give some time. You'll get more time. Because everything reproduces. But if you want the increase in anything, that's what you got to sow. My dad's 97 and he's not lacking anything. And he would say he's rich all his life. But he's always been faithful, no matter what, to take and honor the Lord with the first fruit of anything he got blessed with. And I used to get mad at him. I said, Dad, why are you giving... You just harvest that wheat field and you're giving all that to Billy Graham. He says, son, sit down. Let me talk to you. And here I'm just looking at it. I said, man, just think what we could have done. We could have went on a longer vacation. We never missed vacations. My mom and dad always. They weren't big savers. They spent it on us. But they never were in lacking. He says, son, if you learn anything from your dad, don't be cheap. Always put God number one. When you get married, and of course I was saying, yeah, probably be 60 before I get married. You need to always keep the Lord. It won't seem like it's easy, but the more it's a way of life, the more it becomes a way of life, and the more you'll have, and the more breakthroughs, and you will see doors open that you didn't think. And our journey, whether it was getting hired in Hemlock when they said they were not hiring any teachers, they had no openings, they made a job for me, and all these things aren't by accident. It's because God blesses us because we make Him number one. I remember back, we got filled with the Holy Ghost, and we were so excited. We didn't tithe, but we wanted to right now because all of a sudden we fell in love with the Lord. We were not pastors. We would get excited. She worked at Dow or at a medical plan here, and I met him. Oh my gosh, we get to give this, and we started to give. Next thing you know, this was open. Now we wanted to have a home, and we always went by this one place on Merrill Road, and we thought that would be the desires of our heart. It's way out in the country. There's a creek runs through it. Oh, wouldn't that be neat? And we started to look at all these others, fixer-uppers. If you know me, my wife does, I'm not a fixer-upper. Chap, don't laugh. Lynn, don't laugh wherever you're at.
Hey, but you're growing.
Yeah, we're growing here. So we went by this place, and it was for sale. And we always went home that way. I told my wife, just out of pride, you want to just pull in there and write down? She said, yeah. So we pull into the driveway. George Macrianus and Saginaw was selling it. And so I called, and they told me how much. And I was about ready to hang up, and they said, would you like to see it? And I thought, why not? So they come, and they showed us this. We knew how much we had. We were looking at these fixer-uppers. They were selling 10 acres. We wanted 20. So we said, we're going to put a bid in. We says, and we're just excited about the things of God because we've been tithing. We finally had a car that, instead of a beater. But because we were it was amazing. He gives you the desires of your heart when you put. So we wrote this offer up, and the realtor laughed at us. Says, they refuse a lot more than that with 10 acres. You want 20 acres? I says, and we witnessed. We said, all I know is we love God, and if there's something better out there he's got for us, that's fine. We go, sign, leave. I'm in school, Hemlock, teaching. She's at Dow. He calls me, works, says, get your wife, get into my office. And you know where State and Danport splits? The office used to be right on that point there. Some of you might remember that. We plug it, and the whole staff are in there. And they're in there like this when we walked in. I don't know what kind of pull you got, but they accepted your offer with 20 acres. And we said, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
So to just tell you how much God's in it, so I get in the ag teacher who I knew personally, Barnes, who was the ag teacher for Merrill, had just won the Irish sweepstakes. Now, the Irish sweepstakes isn't a lot, but it's $100,000. And he wanted this house. So the very next week, he went to the person that had already signed it to us, and he made a bid for the 10 acres and full price. But it was too late. And he told me, that's how I knew. He said, geez, we offered them full price, but they said they already had it. I'm telling you, you can't understand it, but seed time and harvest and one little seed at a time opens a window, and it goes on and on and on, and it's never. My wife goes back to school at 50. Doors are opening. She gets jobs. She gets blessed. It's because God is number one, and I'm going to remind you that what you sow is what you're going to reap, and God wants a whole harvest in your lives.
Amen.
And we're going to stand to your feet, and we're going to believe that you're not afraid of change.
Amen.
And you're not afraid of stepping up and changing. And I challenge everyone that's viewing on us today. God's a big God. And he's in here to set the captives free. And he's given us the keys to the kingdom. It's in seed time and harvest. And Father, I thank you for this mighty warring band of men, women, and children that rally under this tent of corporate anointing. And we believe, Lord, that what you begun in each of our lives, that being reminded that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Lord God, I thank you for the almighty seeds of your word that are being planted and nurtured. I call forth healthy hearts in this church in Jesus' name, quick to forgive, quick to love, quick to release grace and mercy on others to reap that back. Father God, I call forth breakthroughs in Jesus' name. And Father, if there's anyone listening today that's not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the most exciting thing you can do, and you don't have to join the church, you don't have to read through the Bible, you just got to surrender your heart and say, Jesus, I need a Lord in my life, and you're the one. And he immediately comes in and gives you the seeds to the kingdom and says, begin to plant it. Plant it. You want more? Plant whatever you want more in. And watch God bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of us said, amen. Love on one another. Encourage one another. If you need prayer, the altars are open.